T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Jeremy White with Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Every time you buy a red pepper, you're saving over years and years. Come on, that's got to be something.
It's got to add up to at least 10 cents.
Jeremy White.
A weekly purchase of a red pepper.
Yeah.
You think you're saving $100 in your lifetime.
Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
All right, I have the bag. Going on the scale. It does not register one thing.
Not registers. There it is.
Come on.
There it is.
Nothing?
Kevin, you've done a great service today. Thank
you. Didn't
you.
Hit the zero. Is there a zeroing out button or anything? You didn't hit that by accident?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
What else can we settle today? The great debate whether or not using your bag for your produce makes a difference. Would the bag register on the scale? Mm. We had Kevin go in and do that service for America.
Yep, live reporting on the air by Kevin. Kevin from West Seneca, I think, he was calling in from.
Does anybody else out there want to do something like that? What do we need to settle?
Do we have, do either of us have something that we do that is kind of unusual that can be figured out?
That's a great question. A lot of the things you might do that are unusual, you might not think are unusual.
No, right. You find out.
Sometimes, like, you have to be told.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's weird.
Everyone else doesn't do this?
Yeah.
Like, I saw there was a poll put up on Twitter recently about, like, whether or not you go to the bathroom standing up or whatever, and the results were 50-50. And I just couldn't believe it. Like, half the country does something completely different than you do.
There was one also on this, I thought you were going to bring this one up, that when you're growing up, when you were a kid and you were going to get sick, like you might throw up, did your family use the same bowl? Like, you go to bed, you bring the bowl there in case you're going to throw up. Was that the same bowl as the family movie popcorn bowl? Did you use the same bowl?
No, not at all.
I'll say right now, it's still, not even just when I'm a kid, last week, the answer to that question is yes.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Got a big Tupperware bowl that fits the most popcorn when we make popcorn.
Okay.
And that was also the big bowl. Last week, I woke up and thought, I'm gonna in the next hour, I know it, I'm going to throw up. And I didn't. Sorry about this for the breakfast, but this was the question. And yes, we still use, I've never thought it to be weird.
Wait a minute. Wait.
The same bowl.
The same bowl that you are eating popcorn out of.
Yeah.
Has been thrown up into.
The sick bowl. Yeah, the sick bowl is just a bowl.
I thought I was the only one that did this.
No.
I'm honestly shocked.
It's just a bowl. You just wash it. It's just a bowl.
You just wash it, but it's been thrown up in. Like, the mental damage alone should be there that, hey, some, you know, little, whatever, your little brother or sister just threw up in this last week. Now I'm eating popcorn out
Why
of
do
it.
We have a dishwasher? Why do we have a sink? Why do we have soap?
We had a trash can that we would just use, like one of those little trash cans.
Yeah.
And we'd just put next to the bed. You put a new bag in it.
I got a story about that, about throwing up in a trash can for you.
It's not the popcorn bowl.
Yeah, popcorn bowl. I mean, it's a bowl. It's not like you reach into the cupboard and you take out the very ornate thing with pictures of popcorn kernels on it and them, you know, it's like the special movie night bowl. It's just a bowl that could also be used to soak things, or I don't know, you use it for anything.
I don't think if I threw up into a bowl like that, I don't think I would ever use it again.
It's an all-purpose Tupperware bowl. Another use, if you're going on a long road trip and you're taking your dogs camping for a couple weeks, I fill that with dog food, put the lid on it, like that bowl. That's also the popcorn bowl. So it's just an all-purpose bowl.
So on Monday, popcorn. On Tuesday, throw up. And on Wednesday,
sure.
Dog food.
No, I see no issue with it. That's why we have soap. That's why we wash things.
It's but how, you got to be very, first of all, you got to be very trustworthy with your washing skills, because soap is only as good as the washer that is using the soap. And are we, how, can you trust it all the way? Like,
yes.
I don't want to be conspiracy theory guy, because what do they say? Like, the bottle even says 99.99% bacterial disinfectant, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you trust it 100%?
Yes.
There's no chance that there's any micro particles of what's been in that bowl in previous instances, and now you're eating popcorn out of it.
I mean, the things that are in there are food that, you know.
And then throw up.
And bodily. I mean, that's already inside of you, so what's the difference? What are you afraid of?
It's never anything that you would then consume again and then use again. In an ideal world, you're throwing up into the toilet.
That's correct.
Nothing that should ever go into the toilet should ever be in something you are eating.
That's fine. Ideally, yes, that's what you do. But sometimes when you are bedridden and you think you might not make it, you need a bowl. And if you're only going to designate one bowl as having that job, where do you keep that bowl, Joe? Or do you just throw it out and go buy another one for the next time? Because if you're going to keep that bowl in the same cupboard with other bowls, I think if you're worried about contaminants, all of a sudden your pristine Tupperware drawer or Tupperware bin all of a sudden has a rogue bowl in it that you don't want in there.
Uh-huh. This is why I use the garbage bag with the bag, because it's got to be disposable in some way. Just not something I'm ever eating out of. I get the question you're saying. I don't think I would ever put anything that I threw up into back into a drawer or a closet, anywhere where there's other things I'm eating out of.
See, what's funny is you think it's weird that people might have done this. The really weird thing is that it sounds like you've never had to actually throw up into a bowl.
I don't think I've ever had to.
Well, I mean, congratulations. Some of us, you know, you're in a bad spot. You can't get that far. Mm-hmm. You don't have choices. It's the floor or, you know, we've got a phone call. Paul wants to get in on this. Paul, go ahead. Paul in Akron, go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, I just wanted to say we all go to restaurants and eat with a fork that hundreds of people already ate off of. As long as you wash it, I think the bowl is fine. So
that's right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. I don't want the point of the segment to be Joe doesn't trust soap.
Joe's only every day. The thing we learn right now is that you've only used each piece of silverware once, and then it goes right in the trash.
You're right. Like this. I only use plastic silverware. This is a good point, because I don't think of that when I go to restaurants at all.
Yeah, somebody ate off this plate an hour ago.
Yeah,
it's back on your table.
I guess I don't think of that. The mental image that I would have with the bowl, though, I don't think I could overcome the same way. I just don't think about it when it comes to silverware and plates that someone else has eaten off of. Maybe I'm just really good at getting to the bathroom.
You know what? I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a
skill. I am very good at getting to the bathroom.
It's a skill in itself.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Garbage bin. What's the problem with garbage? With the garbage bin, though.
There's not a problem with anything else. It's just, can you get there?
But
am I bringing a garbage bin into the bedroom as I sleep?
See,
sick.
That's what. If I feel there's any chance,
you're bringing it in.
I'm bringing it in. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna have it ready to go at all costs.
I respect that. Again, it's not that there's anything wrong with any other scenario. It's just that, you know, I think this is not. I mean, Evan said he has done this.
Right.
I don't think it's that abnormal, because some of us, when we wash dishes, we just trust that they're washed.
This is another thing where just some people think this is completely normal and others don't even know that it exists.
Hey, Kevin in West Seneca, if you're listening, if you could, we got some work for you to do today. We need you're going to need some Dawn dish soap and a sponge,
and then a microscope.
You're also going to have to get sick for the program. So we respect the service that you'll do for this country once more. Yeah. All right. Look at that. We found it in the first segment.
We did.
I saw that going around yesterday or 2 days ago. It was a big kind of, you know, every once in a while, Twitter latches on to a conversation, or the internet, everybody latches on to a, wait, did you also do this as a kid?
Yeah.
And that was it the other day. So We've covered it now.
There was another one of these yesterday, too. It wasn't quite the same. Did your parents tell you that it was illegal to have the light on in the car at night?
Yes.
Because I got told that.
Absolutely, yes.
That one might be more like a consensus than anything else, right? Everyone got told that.
I'm
going to
go ahead and hand up and say I still think that's true. Is that not true?
I think I learned. I thought I learned that it is not true.
Okay.
You can have the light on in your car, like inside the car while you are driving at night.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
I've never looked up if it's true because, yes, my mom always told me that was illegal. I got to turn the light off.
Yep.
Ryan in Alden. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to weigh in on the bull discussion. If you were sick and it was an emergency and it was coming out the other side.
Oh, right. We got to be careful here.
It's a tough conversation. I'm glad we're having it.
We legitimately have to be careful. I'm just going to move. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for that. I just don't think we should go there.
We probably shouldn't, but he might have been headed towards a point
that we shouldn't make.
It might have been correct.
I literally just took the online class for the FCC yesterday. So we're just going to breeze past it. Ryan, I thank you for your contribution. I'm not saying it's a bad point. I'm saying we probably can't make it.
Right. By the way, contrary to popular belief, it is legal to have the lights on in your car in most states.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking for a list of the states, and I do not see anything about it. I don't see any list of states or anything. So it's possible New York is on the list, but it's probably legal to have the lights on in your car when you're driving at night.
Jeremy and Joe with you here. Howard's off today. Sabres and Red Wings tonight. And, Bills and Patriots tomorrow night, getting ready for that game. Team USA got through. Joe and I were both out at a local establishment watching this game, watching the U.S. get by the Iran team and get onto the knockout stage, which is cool. So now we're set up for a Saturday morning soccer game, which, watching Saturdays 10 a.m. soccer is very normal for me. I do it most Saturdays with the Premier League. Wake up, watch sports in the morning. I love the timeline of it. And so the U.S. plays on Saturday, 10 a.m. against the Dutch.
Mm-hmm. Which you said you're conflicted by?
Not really conflicted, but the Dutch are my other team. And, for some people, you have a team. Maybe you like Italy because you're Italian. Maybe you're German and Germany's your team or whatever, Canadian. And I'm not Dutch, but I went to Amsterdam in 2010 and they were in the World Cup final. I have two Netherlands jerseys. And I watched the World Cup final with 80,000 people in Amsterdam. So I've always rooted for the Dutch. They have cool jerseys. They have a cool logo. They're great. And they deserve one, too, when it comes to winning the World Cup. It'd be a country that I would feel very happy for if they won it. So
I don't think they ever have.
No. I don't know if they underperform all the time, but no, they've not won it. And when it comes to this game, I'll root for Team USA. If Team USA loses, it's all aboard the Dutch train again for me. I've always rooted for the Dutch as long as I've watched the World Cup and cared about anybody other than the U.S. And last year, last World Cup, the U.S. wasn't in it.
Right.
I mean, the team I would root for heritage, Irish and Polish, I could root for them a little bit. But for me, it's just been the Dutch.
Yeah.
It's about, it's what it is for a lot of sports fans when you pick a team. I think it's about the jerseys. Their jerseys are consistently great.
They are, yeah.
They wear orange. They also wear red, white, and blue. But
yeah,
they're cool. And, if you're a sports fan and didn't grow up in Buffalo for the Bills or Sabres, or maybe you did and you picked the Bills and Sabres, and picking your NBA team came down to which jerseys do I like the most?
Yeah.
Maybe you did that for the Premier League. Maybe you did that for college football. I like LSU's jerseys. I'm gonna root for them because they look cool or their name's cool.
Or for you could do this for an individual player. This is probably mostly because I had the FIFA video game and I would play with him a lot, but I rooted for Portugal, I think, in past World Cups because I liked Ronaldo. I don't really like him that much anymore, but at a time I did. So Portugal was that a little bit for me, but for me, that's always been Italy. My problem has been that when even the U.S. missed the World Cup in 2018, Italy also missed the World Cup, and then they missed this World Cup again, which is kind of befuddling that they've been able to do that. So I don't really have another dog in the fight. Then I'm not saying you're not all in on this, but I was stunned at how anxious I was about that game yesterday. I had a pit in my stomach in the second half as that game was winding down, the same way as if it, I don't know, what does it feel like when the Sabres are up in a playoff game? That kind of is the feeling I feel like I was having about them as they were trying to close that game out yesterday, and Iran was coming really close to doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. They're good, the Netherlands. The U.S. probably is not going to do great, but aren't we also able to be open to the fact that they could actually pull an upset here, given how well they played against England?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. They gave up zero goals in the run of play. The one goal they conceded is on a penalty kick.
Oh, right, yes.
You know, they shut out England, clean sheet against England, clean sheet against Iran, and the one goal against is a penalty kick. So I think it's a sign you're playing pretty well defensively, and you know, controlling play. The U.S. isn't exactly the most talented team. They're probably going to go. They're going in as an underdog, no doubt, against the Dutch. But, you know, sure, we've seen plenty of upsets in this World Cup, and that's one thing I kind of would like to see. You know, the U.S. in its World Cup history. What memories do you have? For me, they beat Colombia. Right, that was a shocker. With an own goal, they beat Colombia, Algeria in 2010.
That was to get out of the group stage. Yep.
They get out of the group stage. They beat Algeria. That's a big moment. They don't really have one since that. And if they were to ever win a group stage, or I'm sorry, a knockout stage match to beat the Netherlands, and then maybe beat somebody else, even to make a semifinal, I just wonder, you know, what it would be like around here. You know how it is with the Bills, with the Sabres, with college basketball. When there's a run happening, everybody kind of gets swept up in it, and you know, the time frames aren't exactly great for ratings. I don't know how a Tuesday at 2 p.m. is going to work for the ratings.
Yeah.
But I've mentioned it a couple times with you this week that the U.S.-England game put up, like, Michigan-Ohio State numbers.
Right.
On a Saturday. Or, sorry, on Black Friday.
Black Friday, yeah.
On Black Friday, it was like a Michigan-Ohio State-level number. 15 million people watched that. So now that it's a playoff game, it's a knockout stage game, it's not just U.S.-England rivalry, it's win and advance on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it'll pull some pretty big numbers, and I kind of wonder how big things could get going in the country for this. You know, I'm not about to predict soccer passes everybody, but in the last 20 years, it's definitely made huge inroads.
Yeah.
And the younger generation of U.S., I think, fans is big into soccer.
I feel like it could explode. I mean, I have group chats that are meant for fantasy football where everybody is talking about the soccer game yesterday.
Yep.
And people that do not watch like Premier League like you and I do early mornings on the weekends. And, you know, what you'll get a lot of is rule changing when the World Cup shows up every 4 years. Like, oh, why do they have stoppage time? And why is everybody going down all the time? And just certain little intricacies of soccer that you'll hear people complain about. But it feels like people get swept up in it. Sports fans in general that aren't even soccer fans get swept up in it. And that's when they're in the group stage. That's when they're just reaching the knockout round. If they were to win a knockout round game, if they were to beat the Netherlands on Saturday, reach the quarterfinals, I want to feel like it could pop a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know to what level that would happen, but daydreaming about this team going on a run, yeah, it would probably, for me, be like unlike anything I've really experienced in my sports life, where the whole country is kind of in on one thing, and it's super exciting, and everybody's in on it.
It's fun. It's fun to get caught up in that. And, you know, the fact that it's U.S., I feel like the Olympics used to have this kind of energy, and it's faded a bit. This might be true of FIFA, too. I mean, the corruption in FIFA, the corruption in the Olympics, like, you kind of have to just deal with that. But, you know, it's just interesting to see how this goes. And for yesterday, for that game, it's also a moment where, you know, if you want to write the story, Christian Pulisic scoring the goal. He's Captain America, finger quotes. He's the guy that does it. He also sacrifices his body to do it.
Right.
You know, wherever you think he got blasted, he's got a pelvic injury, which, you know, it looked pretty painful. It was the first time maybe in your life you knew that a soccer player, and I say this lovingly, I love the sport, staying down was really hurt.
Yeah.
Because he had just scored.
Right.
He scored a goal to go ahead, which was probably the highlight of his life as a player?
It's gotta be.
Scores a World Cup goal to go ahead to advance to the knockout stage, basically, and stays down for a good 5 minutes. You knew that hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody stays down for that. I mean,
stunned he got back in that game.
For five minutes, and then left.
And he didn't look all the way right, although he maybe would have had an opportunity to score. There was a 3-on-2 opportunity the U.S. had coming back the other way, and Pulisic was the man kind of falling back, which is probably where the pass should have gone. So he might have scored another goal before being taken out. He, by the way, if you're wondering about his injury, he's day-to-day.
He says he's going to be fine.
He says he's going to be fine. I don't think I've heard Berhalter say anything on it, the manager. It wasn't even, if you didn't see it on social media, he's in the hospital. This was real, right? I didn't get fooled by the internet.
No, I think it's real.
He was in a hospital bed, like cheering the U.S. on in the second half, like rooting them on and as they close it out. So that's a stardom moment. That's a moment where maybe you jump from soccer star in the United States to just sports star in the United States.
Yeah. It's also a moment that he probably already had this coming. In 10 years, in 12 years, he's the one standing in insert place here talking about Team USA's efforts. Like, he's the future analyst, like Landon Donovan and Clint MCR and Alexi Lalas. Like, he's got a lifetime, speaking engagement tour. You want to say he's a made man. He's been one of the best American players on the international scene for a long time. He's proven it at the Premier League level, which is something that not a lot of Americans have done. And now he does it basically leading the U.S. on to, I mean, they score two goals. He was in on both of them.
Yeah.
The first was an incredible pass, and the second, he scores himself. So, great. I mean, it was a great day. It was a great day for Team USA, and for those of you that, were able to get out and watch that game, that's pretty cool. If you weren't, well, Saturday, 10 a.m.
Soccer, also, watching it with a large group of people, it's just, isn't it a lot of just everybody's just sitting there, like, hands crossed, like, nervous, just, like, watching the game? It's almost like, that's kind of what Sabre games have become, right? Maybe for a different reason, where just everybody's kind of there watching the game. Like, maybe this is American fans more than European fans. There's not a ton of chance as much. It's just everybody's right. Just stoic watching the game, especially the end of that. I mean, that got really nervy that they almost gave up a goal to Iran in the final minutes and really, by the way, backed off in that game, which you can argue whether or not that was prudent, but wow. I mean, it's cool to have them go through, and I'm super excited for Saturday's game. I also love that it's on Saturday morning.
Yep,
so,
me too.
Cool.
803-0550. We've got plenty to get to here with the Bills, the Sabres, all that good stuff. Team USA, a little more on that. We'll talk to Nick Mendola coming up at 7:30.
Where you throw up into also might be on the docket. Yeah.
We got a couple of tweets on this as well the one I like, Kyle writes in, the largest pot in the house that rarely got used was the one for us.
Okay.
Big pot. How would you feel about that? Because the pots are usually
pots.
Filled with boiling water. Is that do the job for you?
I think that is more acceptable.
Okay.
Right.
All
right. Right, because it's going to be, any particles that are, any residue could be cooked out of there.
Particles.
Yeah. There's got to be some, right?
Yeah.
Pull a microscope out. And see what that bowl looks like. I bet you'd never use it again.
Well, this is not even going to be our most intense disagreement of the day. We got to talk about the Dolphins.
We do.
I mean, I can't believe I'm in this spot, but I'm going to do it. I will not stand for the Dolphins slander anymore. I think I'm going to go that far.
I will slander them until they dominate a great team.
Every day I go home and I check Twitter and hear you just calling the Dolphins all sorts of frauds, and I'm just like, I'm going to talk to that guy.
I was just doing the work. I was letting the other people call them the frauds.
You are the king of tweeting, just saying. I'm just saying, Ryan.
Here's the information. You make with it what you want to do.
I'm just saying Ryan Fitzpatrick has more touchdown passes than Troy Aikman. I'm just saying.
Yeah. He does.
It's true. All right, 803-0550 if you want to join us. We've got Sal coming up at 7 o'clock, Nick Mendola at 7:30. Joe Marino of the Draft Network joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about this Patriots matchup, of course. And Chris Price, Boston Globe, covers the Patriots. We'll talk about the Patriots with him coming up at 9 as well. So your calls, your texts, your tweets, it's all welcome. Happy to have you along here on a rainy Wednesday morning on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I did get hurt. You know, the news is not the best of news, but it's definitely not the worst of news. It's kind of like in the middle. You know, I didn't tear my ACL. That was the huge, you know, part of it. But, you know, I do have some lateral meniscus damage, and it's going to have to be addressed. But I do feel like I can, you know, play through that. So I'm just going to wait a little bit, let the swelling go down for about, you know, 7 to 10 days, and, you know, hopefully right before the Jets game, you know, I will be back.
Von Miller on his podcast.
There he is, telling us everything.
I've been telling as many people will listen, you should subscribe to Von's podcast and listen to it. It's where you find podcasts. It's called The Voncast. Watched him do a lengthy interview of Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. He had Richard Sherman, Mike Evans, and here he is just, you know, talking about his own knee injury and coming back from it. So he believes he can play through it. Maybe it's the kind of thing that gets cleaned up in the offseason, but can you play through it? It might be, I don't know, this is maybe going a little far, but it's a comparison I'd like to make, just because the feeling of watching someone you know isn't 100% and seeing how long it holds up. Is there a name you think of with that? You know a guy's playing hurt. How long can he last? Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant has the Achilles injury with the Warriors.
Okay.
And they play, he dresses for that game in Toronto.
He has a calf injury.
Calf injury, okay.
And he gets the Achilles in that game.
Okay.
Or the next game.
That's how it works. So he has an injury, he plays, he is lighting it up. The Warriors are on their, they're going to win that series.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And then he takes one strange step, he goes down, and it's over.
Yeah.
And that won't be how it works for the Bills. If Miller tries to play and contributes and then goes down, it'll be a disappointing day, but you maybe thought Miller was already done for the season Thursday when the injury happened. So
yeah.
I would imagine they will load manage him or slow play it in any number of ways. Think of how they've slow played Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer and everybody. Now you got a guy that is a $120 million pass rusher that you brought in to be your finisher. You're going to try to make it every way that he is there for your finish.
Right. There's got to be a hockey guy for this, right? Like, there's a recent one of Patrice Bergeron that's coming to mind for me, where he even, like, tore a ligament in his knee and was still playing through it. There's probably a million hockey guys that have done this, but the one I thought of for the Sabres immediately was Thomas Vanek. This is the Boston series in 2010, where he has basically his ankle broken by Johnny Boychuk early in the series, and he comes back later in the series, but everybody knows his ankle is not right. But he's going to do it anyway, and we're going to see what version of him we get. The Bills, I don't really know if I have a guy for that. Have they, in one of these playoff runs, had a player
playing hurt
that's that important?
That you,
I mean, we've been doing this with Allen for a couple weeks.
That's right.
With his elbow.
But the only with Allen, we're not afraid it's going to get worse, because if it could get worse, I don't think they would play him.
Right. And you've seen, like, was it even from the Bills? Like, doctors have assured them that it can't get worse by playing. So Miller's going to be playing. I mean, if he even plays, are we talking about a third of the snaps right when he comes back? Like something similar to Tre'Davious White, where you just mentioned pitch count and a limited role. I even wonder, like, maybe that'll just be the rest of the season for him.
Yeah.
That they'll use him as a, depending on what the knee is, maybe there's a result where they're using him as a situational pass rusher down the stretch where, hey, it's first down and here's, we're playing the Chiefs in the playoffs. It's first and 10. It's second and four. You're not on the field because these could be run plays. Okay, wait. We got a third and eight now coming up. Third and eight. And we know it's a pass situation. All right, Vaughn, you're going out on the field. He could become a situational pass rusher depending on how healthy that knee is able to maintain. The one saving grace might be that Miller said he has played with a similar injury before. He's played with a brace before. And he ended up with double-digit sacks when he did that. So there's maybe at least some reason to believe that he can still be as efficient and as productive as normal, even though he's got the meniscus injury.
803-0550. Let's chime in on Beckham. He's visiting Friday. He's visiting Friday.
The weather Friday is nice.
That's 40, good.
48 and sunny.
The story about him getting in a dispute with the flight crew, it feels like that kind of came and went with a lot less attention than it normally would have received.
I was kind of surprised by that, since it is Beckham.
Yeah, kicked off a flight because of some sort of dispute. He claims he was sleeping. I read an account from a witness that said he was sleeping.
Yeah.
He was referred to as unresponsive. Like, I mean, it was a weird story, and he tweeted through it. Like, after it happened, he was tweeting how, can't believe what just happened to me. I've never in my life has this happened before. I can't believe what just happened.
Yeah.
So, and
right, know, that was before anything had even
That was before
reported.
The story came out. He had tweeted how a very weird thing had happened to him. And if you read that, you kind of thought, like, oh, are you gonna tell us?
Right.
So the whole thing, it did just kind of come and go. But anyway, here we are. He's going to visit the Giants tomorrow and the Bills on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And Miller said, I'll pull you the tweet because I read it from Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News, who wrote that Vaughn mentioned, it ain't over till it's over, but when OBJ visits, Vaughn says, I don't think he's leaving, and then held his pose of a shrug shoulders for 10 seconds.
Yeah. If he wasn't, well, should I read anything into the Bills are the second of three visits and not the third, or also not the first? It goes Giants, Bills, Cowboys.
Who chooses that order? Beckham? I mean, Giants and Bills would be consecutive.
Yeah.
The Bills make sense on a Friday because their game is on a Thursday.
Okay.
It's not disrupting their week at all.
Right.
But they could have the day off and Beckham could get a chance to walk through the facility, whatever. Talk to anybody. Probably talk to Vaughn, talk to Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott. It's a Friday after a Thursday game, so it's not your normal Friday, which might be all business. For the Giants, it's on Thursday of a game week. And for the Cowboys, I don't know when that visit might be. But the point I would get to is, I guess, what we're at visiting stages.
Yeah, like, which is a very off-season-y type of thing to be thinking about. And, like, not letting him out of the building. Doesn't your mind immediately jump to Mario Williams and how the Bills were courting him and he had a visit lined up with the Bears and it was just don't let him out of the building. Don't let him leave. And they didn't.
Yep.
Like, they all but locked the doors to make sure he was not going to leave without signing a contract.
That happens from time to time.
And will the Bills be full press in a courting-type fashion like that to get him to sign? We know Von Miller would be, but will the Bills be that way?
Right. What are they... Because they're preparing for this. They're prepared to, I don't know, full court press. I would think, yes, if you're this late in the game and you're this interested...
And he's coming here.
He's coming to your facility.
Right. Like, part of the original reporting on who he was visiting was he's going to visit with the Giants, he's going to visit with the Bills, he's going to visit with the Cowboys, and he's been in talks with the Chiefs and the Ravens. So those teams, whatever Beckham needed in terms of assurance of an offer or assurance of just an interest in actually doing something and being serious about it, I mean, clearly the Chiefs and Ravens aren't all the way there because he's not planning on going there at this point.
Yep.
And the Bills, whatever that that gap was that they needed to jump over to show Beckham, hey, we're real serious about doing this. Like, he's getting on a plane and he is coming here. So from that standpoint, I think, yeah, maybe we should assume that they would be, they're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get him to sign here.
Does this mean that these three teams are prepared to make the financial commitment? If he's not leaving, if Von Miller says he believes that Beckham won't leave, that means that doesn't mean that they sit down and start talking dollars at that moment. I would think that Beckham having three spots to visit means that the general managers of those teams have communicated to the player or the agent, yeah, we're prepared to do XYZ. And Maybe the Giants offer or money, or the Cowboys offer or money, or the Bills is a little bit different, structured differently, guaranteed this. I would think that all this adds up to, whether it's multiple years, whatever he signs for, this is the way I'll say it, whatever he signs for, I've got to think that if it's not with the Bills, that they are willing to go close to what he gets.
Yeah.
If you see him getting 2 years or 3 years in Dallas, I don't think he's coming for the visit unless those deals are all close.
Right. No, right. Like, he would have to know on some level, hey, they're willing to do something I like contract-wise.
Absolutely. If the Cowboys gave him are telling him right now, we'll offer you 3 years, and the Bills are saying, how about 3 months on a prove-it deal? He's not even coming for the visit.
No, he's not coming for the visit. And that might be what the Chiefs and Ravens are offering and why they're only talked about as being in talks with Beckham. So it still might be that they come under where the Cowboys might be offering or where the Giants might be offering. But now we're kind of talking through it, if the money part of it is now kind of secondary, if they've kind of, you know, wink, wink, not like we kind of know where each other stands on this front, we think we can make a deal, now it becomes more about, I guess, your facilities and more about the people on the team and more about the team itself and their chances of winning and
your parking spot,
your parking, right, all that little stuff.
Yeah.
And on that front, don't I want to believe the Bills have a pretty good shot at getting this done from where they won? The team success is still there. The record is there. I know they're struggling a little bit as of late. He's got how many people on the team that he knows and is mm-hmm. close with? Von Miller and Tre'Davious White are top of that list.
To that point, I'd love to know this. I might be going too far here, but do they have a locker mocked up for him? Right next to Von?
Yeah.
Or right next to Tre'Davious White, two guys that he's close with? He's like, hey, this is our facility. Oh, look at this. And is there a jersey made up?
Is there a Beckham jersey hanging?
If you're hosting someone for a visit, I'm thinking about this like a college recruiting trip.
Yeah.
And what do they do? If you are a five-star, a guy they really want to get on board, you put your name on the scoreboard. Or you what we saw what the Clippers did for Blake Griffin way back when. You put together these monster things. Now, this isn't necessarily that, where you're going for face of the franchise type stuff.
Yeah.
But you're doing anything you can to endear yourself to being chosen.
You could really, I mean, you use Allen, right?
Absolutely.
You would maybe have Allen kind of be, hey, Josh Allen's going to be your, not your tour guide, but he's going to be hanging out throughout the day. And that could just be the selling point in its own is, hey, look, this, he is he this yet? He's not Brady probably. If you're going to go visit, like, wow, it's Tom Brady. But Allen is this figure in the sport right now that is seen as, and is for good reason, seen as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And just his presence, I don't know, that his presence being there and helping to get Beckham to sign is an advantage that the Giants certainly don't have. And I don't really think the Cowboys do to the same extent either. So that's a selling point. Who your quarterback is and the reputation that he has built for himself is part of the reason why I think the Bills would have a fighting chance here to get a star player like this to sign with you.
803-0550, if you want to chime in on this, on the Beckham conversation. We can get to this more with Sal and with Joe Marino as well. Do you feel more need for it? Do you feel maybe at the start of the season it was a luxury, and maybe after the Jet game it was, yeah, maybe we do have somewhat of a need? And after the Detroit game, and as we go on and on, it becomes more obvious. I mean, the New England game, we'll see. Is this going to be a game where Gabe Davis lights it up and it feels like you're good? Is it Isaiah McKenzie again? You know, the Beckham chart, whatever, Joe, if you want to say like the need chart or your feel for the need for Beckham has probably moved around a bit. I've been pretty strong on it most of the year, and it would make me feel a lot better about them if they get it done. A lot better. Yeah. I don't know how much I could expect right away, but when they go into Kansas City or they host Kansas City, I would feel a lot better playing any one of these teams. Playing Miami, trying to keep up with that team that's doing really good things on offense. The Bills, how do you find your, you know, your A game again?
Yeah.
I think Beckham would help an awful lot.
Yeah. The multi-year part of this too, right? Like if he wants a 3-year deal, are we good with that being the Bills' move if that is it? Like if we've talked about in off-season's first-round picks for wide receivers and all the guys that got drafted last year, and I would imagine if they don't do this, then we'll have that conversation again. We probably will no matter what. Next off-season, the next year free agent class is not really that loaded. Are we okay with, for more than 1 year, this is the Bills' move for a receiver behind Stephon Diggs?
I think I'm okay with that. I don't know if it's the best. The better idea might be a first-round receiver.
That is the better idea. You can still do that.
The problem is, that doesn't help me this year.
Right.
So if you're asking me, would I take, if I'm given the choice of first-round receiver next year or Beckham now and next year, I think I take the now. And I get at least 2 years of him. The end of this year and next year, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he is exactly what you're hoping to get in the first round.
Right.
And maybe a little more expensive than an entry-level contract. But we'll see. Friday, Beckham in town to visit with the Bills. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase here on WGR. Sal Capaccio joins us. Top of the hour, Nick Mandola, 7:30, recapping the U.S. wins over Iran. We'll get to your calls and anything you want to get to as well. 803-0550 to join us on WGR. Time to give away Foreigner tickets.
How do you feel about Foreigner?
Fine. Vintage 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of songs you know.
Be caller 5 right now at 221-4WGR to win a pair of tickets to see Foreigner, the farewell tour, with special guest Loverboy on Friday, July 28th, 2023 at Darien Lake Amphitheater, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Dolphins Chargers gets flexed. So NFL Week 14.
Was that the Bronco Chief game?
I believe it was. So the Dolphins get flexed into Week 14, and that means there's a really good chance the Dolphins play a primetime game in both Week 14 and 15. Week 15 is the Bills Dolphins game, which is either going to be Saturday or Sunday. But that's pretty good. Like, we get Bills Jets at 1:00.
Uh-huh.
And maybe by that time, the Dolphins play the Niners this week. If they find a way to win that game, then we get to watch Dolphins Chargers in prime time. Actually, the next 2 weeks, we get a chance to look at the Dolphins in big windows, because the Niners one is a 4:00.
It's a 4:00 game, and the Bills obviously will have already played on Thursday.
So the next 2 weeks, you get a good chance to watch the Dolphins against fairly good opponents to see if they can hold on to their lead in the division. And then it's Bills-Dolphins, yet to be determined what time that game is. But Dolphins-Chargers flexed into Week 14 Sunday Night Football.
You could also say it's the next 4 games, actually, because they play on Christmas at 1:00 against the Packers, and that is the only game on Christmas at 1:00.
Hmm.
There's one game at 1, there's one game at 4, and there's a night game. And then the rest of the games are on Christmas Eve. The Bills will play the Bears on Christmas Eve. So the Bills and Dolphins, like, if you're a Bills fan, you'll get to watch the Dolphins up close and watch their whole game, every single game, the next month of the season.
I like it. I like that Sunday night game.
Yeah, me
instead
too.
Instead of Chiefs-Broncos.
Chiefs-Broncos, you just can't have them on TV anymore.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be on local TV, any TV.
They scheduled the Broncos for 5 primetime games when they signed Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They've already played 4 of them. And finally, the NFL decided, we won't make you go through that again.
How many are they going to get next year? 2?
It's going to be bad.
It shouldn't be more than that.
No, I mean...
They're the biggest mess in the league right now.
I am very interested to see how they tackle the offseason.
Yeah.
Do they fire their coach? I think they have to fire their coach.
They can't really do much else, can they?
They can't.
They don't have a lot of cap space, I don't think, to sign guys.
And they can't get rid of Russell Wilson because the dead money on that is so nuts, like $68 million in year 2.
And they don't have their first or second round pick from the trade.
Yep.
They don't pick to the 3rd round. So Hackett might be good. He probably should be gone anyway. he'll get fired just because the Broncos are going to be like, we can't just do nothing.
Right. We can't eat $250 million. Maybe we'll just eat, what, $12 million or whatever, whatever he's making?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably got to get fired. It'd be a really tough sell. How do you bring it back? What's been your problem? You have weapons.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback. Your defense was great, and you were one of the, not just the worst teams in the AFC in the league, you were painful to watch.
Yeah.
From day one. I think you have to fire your coach if you're Denver, which is, we've seen that happen. One and done coaches, right? Rob Chudzinski in Cleveland.
Mike Patton in Cleveland.
Okay. Steve Wilkes in Arizona.
There was a Miami. Did you already mention him?
A one and done?
Yeah. Mm.
Not Cam Cameron?
Yeah, Cam Cameron. Right?
He got a year? Okay.
One and 15, and I think he was fired.
Yeah.
So it happens. Freddie Kitchens?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe it's just Cleveland does this a lot. The Broncos should absolutely fire Hackett, though. You simply have to.
It's such a good opportunity. Again, will you please commit to this with me in the offseason? Or we have to do it like over Christmas break.
Okay.
Starting our coaching dynasty fantasy league.
Yes, we have to do this.
We have to draft coordinators.
Yep.
You can draft any person on the earth that is not a current head coach. We need a scoring system.
Yep.
Because I want to draft coordinators.
We'll get this going. We'll get this going soon. We probably would have to get this going soon.
Because guys are going to get fired.
Guys are going to get fired. And also, I don't know if the rules have changed on this. I know the Bills even have proposed a rule change for this. But guys will start being interviewed in the next few weeks. Not in the next few weeks, but by the end of the season. Right? Like, teams are in the playoffs and their coordinators are being interviewed for head coaching jobs. So... yeah, we should get that rolling in the next couple weeks. Ken Dorsey would still be a high pick, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Probably. Well, no.
I didn't say like the top pick.
He'll get interviews.
Probably.
He's got less than a year experience.
Uh-huh.
And he walked into an offense that was already great. So what Brian Daboll had was, I turned a raw quarterback and a beleaguered franchise into a wagon on offense over multiple years. Dorsey, like you said, he might get interviews. Hot candidate? Maybe. Maybe. But he doesn't have the track record. He doesn't have the resume that Daboll had. Daboll got interviewed the year before he got a job. He got interviewed in Cleveland when they gave it to Kevin Stefanski.
And the Chargers with Brandon Staley.
Yep. 803-0550. We'll talk to Sal on the other side. Get some updates on the Beckham stuff, the injuries for the Bills. The good news is they are probably the least injured they've been all year. The injuries they have are big ones, though. Sal coming up on the other side here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.